Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Shakespeare and Company is a cultural and physical neighbor to Tanglewood.
Yep. Located here in Lenox, Massachusetts, Shakespeare and Company was founded in 1978, and are we lucky they're here?
This summer they present The Bards of Midsummer Night's Dream, Henry IV, Parts 1 and 2, The Servant of Two Masters, Romeo and Juliet, and Julius Caesar, along with the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged. Shakespeare's Will and Christopher Durang's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike.
Well, they'll present these productions in four, count them, one, two, three, four spaces. The Tina Packer Playhouse, the Elaine P. Bernstein Theater, their outdoor space, the Rose Footprint Theater, / Bankside, and at the Mount. Joining us now to tell us more are Tony Simotas, Artistic Director of Shakespeare and Company, Director of the Seasons, A Midsummer Night's Dream, and an old friend of WAMC. Hello, Tony.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody.
So we welcome Tony and Tina and Jason and Nigel. Tina Packer, Jason Asprey, and Nigel Gore. Tina has directed Jason and Nigel in a pared-down, bare-barred production of Julius Caesar, in which seven actors play all the roles, and it is a pleasure to have you all here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Well, what have you gotten yourself in?
Well, you know, this is an important season for us because it's not only our 37th season, but we're also celebrating Shakespeare's 450th birthday. Mm-hmm. So we decided to make the season a little bit more Shakespeare-centric, which is a good thing. And so we have a lot of different aspects of Shakespeare and Company's work that we've been truly celebrating over these last almost 40 years. So we have my production, A Midsummer Night's Dream, set in New Orleans and the Bayou, and it seemed like a very good thing to bring back one of the seminal productions that Tina developed back in the earlier days of the company to do what we call the Bear Bard and to do Julius Caesar. So, and then we're also back at the Mount, which is really exciting to do Romeo and Juliet.
Because a lot of people don't really remember the whole, flap with the Mount about how you guys were there, and then you weren't there, and then there was some bad feelings, and then there was some good feelings.
Right.
And so it does raise, but you said something that just piqued my attention. We don't really know who Shakespeare was, right?
Well, I mean, none of us were actually there to live in his
neighborhood. But Francis Bacon, is it this one? Is it that one?
You know,
Alan, we know more about Shakespeare and who he was than all the other playwrights put together living at that time.
Well, right. But all the English professors would be unemployed if we really knew.
All the people who want to make a story about it, mostly journalists who don't know anything about it's just not true. We know more about him than anybody. Not only that, we know more about who he was, what his education was, how he actually developed and devised the plays.
Well, who was he?
Who the actors?
Well, who was he?
He was a bloke from Stratford who was born into a kind of lower middle class family who went through the education system at that time, which was just incredible, which is how he knew how to write the play.
He was an actor.
He was an actor.
And
he was
a brilliant one.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing.
And that made him a brilliant playwright.
You know, that's how we were founded, too, when, you know, Tina and B.H. Berry and Kristen Linkletter and John Broom got together and really brought together so many actors is really what defined our company. Because it was amazing to me is that you look at, you know, because people don't think that artists necessarily kind of well-rounded education. And yet, here we all were from, you know, varied backgrounds, most of us from lower class backgrounds that came to actually create the company. And I think great art truly comes from that struggle.
Well, you know, every time I sit across the table from Tina, the sparks begin to fly, you know. Makes accusations, you know, and call journalists names and all of that. All I know is that there is a certain enigmatic something about Shakespeare that a lot of people would like to know more about.
Well, you know, but the reality is that it's about the art itself. And, you know, just as you had on earlier about Wagner.
Yeah,
you
Wagner.
Know, and that's right. And there is something about the work itself that speaks something from the place of where the origin of creativity comes from. And so no matter, you know, who exactly Shakespeare is, and I believe he existed and I believe he wrote these plays, But I also believe that the art itself, you know, lives in a special way that can't even be defined. Even if we know exactly who this person is, there is inspiration that is absolutely divine.
I mean, Wagner, the transcendence of Wagner's work is where Wagner is, and the fact that he was...
I don't agree with that either.
Well, all right, yeah, but I was going to say the fact that he was a schmuck in life and not a nice man.
Can't say that on the radio, but go ahead.
Can't I? Right. But I mean, that he was not a nice man is neither here nor there as far as the music itself is concerned. So I mean, it's in the art form, as Tony said, where our lives live, not within the kind of daily life of that rather horrible human being. I don't think right. Shakespeare was a horrible human
being.
Well,
I do agree with you about one thing here, and that is that the stuff is so prescient, so
yes.
amazing
yes.
in terms of how it stands today.
Well, that's yes. the thing is what yes. I have to look at, just in the two plays that Tina and I are doing. Midsummer Night's Dream, when you see it, and set in an American setting, you know, in a city that is magical, that is full of love, magic, and mystery, as in New Orleans, and bringing in jazz into it, what you have is the play seems as if it was just written. There's nothing in the play that seems like it's over 400 years old. And when you look at the political dialogue and the argument that's in Julius Caesar, it's really, truly, you know,
amazing.
The cliche.
How many ages hence should
that's
this
right.
all lofty
yeah.
scene be acted or
that's right.
states
it's truly
unborn and accents yet unknown?
Ripped from the headlines, so to speak, as we were talking about earlier. So,
if you're just joining us, Nigel Gore is here.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
We haven't heard from poor Nigel. And
Tina
he has directed Jason and Nigel in a pared down Bear Bard production. What would you? I alluded to it earlier, but how do you define Bear Bard?
Well, Shakespeare himself took all his plays out on the road with seven actors, so I was interested in how they did that. But the real thing is that Caesar is such an intense play and, you know, such a play for our time. I mean, even you, Alan, would love this play because it's all...
I just gave you the quote.
Well, because it really is about now, this moment. And so I wanted to see if I could do the intensity of it and actually up the intensity by using just seven actors because they play all the parts. They play their own part, but then they're the crowd, they're the mob, they're the lynchers.
It's also cheaper that way.
Yeah, of course it's yes. cheaper that way. Why he did it with seven and why we do it with
We're
seven.
We're also the scenery, so it's really, really cheap.
Yeah.
Nigel, the number one name in America is now, the new child name is Noah. We have a grandchild named Noah. I wondered how many Nigels are there in the old country?
Well, there are a few now. Back in the 20s and 30s, it was actually a very posh name, but in the 50s, the working classes got hold of it. So,
yeah, yeah, same
so
thing.
In 1954, there were actually three in my street.
Three Nigels.
Me being one, yeah.
And now?
Oh, God, millions and millions.
Millions
yeah.
of Nigels, yeah.
It used to be very posh. Actually,
yeah.
But
well, so did,
nah,
Gert,
no
so did Gertrude in this country and Herman's, but then they disappeared for the same reason. The masses got a hold of them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Once the working classes get hold of stuff,
yeah,
it's all
go.
Over.
It's
done. Yeah, we see that in Caesar, actually.
Let him be
articulated
Caesar
very beautifully.
So I can ask either of you this question, and I'm going to go this route. But what is it like to direct your son?
Oh, we've worked it
Can
out
I
quite.
Can I pop up and just say it's misery for the rest of us?
You need a reality show. This
well,
is
aren't
it.
Aren't you all her children in some
yeah,
way
really?
Or another
really?
Speaking?
This,
and there lies the problem. But Tina,
yeah.
Tina never wants to describe us as her children. We're her colleagues. Whatever you do, do not refer to her in that the other respect.
Yeah, but what's it like? What's it? Joe's question is great. What's it really like?
Jason and, should answer.
Well, that's right, Jason. But at home, it's one thing when you're arguing with your mom, but you know they don't know anything. We all know that. But when they're directing you, yeah.
In Hamlet, was a bliss. We were on equal terms. When she directs me, we get confused occasionally.
Can you give us one solid example?
No, especially if you can't say schmuck on the radio.
There you go.
I did it again.
There you've done it again.
Sorry. Once, What's wrong with your voice? Shut up. You don't tell other actors to shut up. I'm telling you to shut up.
I love it.
That is great.
The world knows now.
I don't mean this with any disrespect whatsoever. I find it difficult to believe you don't tell the other actors to shut up.
I do.
She doesn't.
He just thinks I don't.
There you go. You're getting it right now. Liar.
Are you having a great time watching everything that you sort of ultimately created? I mean,
I am. Although I'm also working very hard.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot to do. You might have noticed on that campus there's a lot of derelict buildings, and there's a lot of so we still have a long way to go. A lot of money to raise, a lot of development, a lot of long range planning, a lot of endowment to build. So there's no let up really.
Do you do that yourself? Do you go around and talk to people who have a lot of money and ask them for money?
I mean, I've had a little downtime because Tone came in, and then Nigel and I went out on the road with Women of Will, and we've been all over the place, you know, which has been fantastic. But I'm right back in harness now, talking to people, really trying to see how we're going to do this. And, you know, one of the things about creating something is you want to make sure it's going to keep on going after you've left.
But from the department of I Should Talk, there is something called the founder syndrome, which is how does somebody let go?
Well, I'm not going to let go in as much as my creative life lives at Shakespeare and Company. I can't go to ART or somewhere else and do my work because they're not going to. I like to rehearse in a certain kind of way, and I want the kind of actors I want. So I'm not going
to
go somewhere else.
Want to tell your kid to shut up.
Yes. Well, that's a second. I mean, Jason, of necessity, became part of the company because how else was he going to get babysat when he was a little kid? You know.
And I did the Julius Caesar. I played Mark Antony 20 years ago, so this is a kind of remount of that production. Right. And now I'm playing. And Kevin Coleman played Cassius, and it's funny. Kevin Coleman played Mercutio, then I played Mercutio. I was his page. So
there's always been a mentoring, and I think to your point, Alan, too, is that in a sense. Then, since I took over as the AD, it's like I've also
artistic
helped
director.
Artistic AD. Director, right? Is to be able to give Tina the opportunity to continue that creative her creative endeavors. So what we have is in a situation where there is a simpatico, you know, nature between the two of us, in which I'm trying to actually help her develop the work that she wants, as I could do my own artistic work as well. But now we have some help. The board is really engaging with us to help raise the necessary funds for the property. And that was one thing I'm proud of, is that when I came in, we were in a very difficult place. We've been able to stabilize over the last 5 years, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, want to say, because that I might have made it sound like I'm raising lots of money. Actually, it's the board of trustees who are really in there working at it.
Sure,
I don't want to do a
because Tina and I work together. There are certain donors that we each work with to bring money in.
Sure. But I wanted to ask Nigel a question because Joe gave us instructions. We got to get Nigel to talk more. Now, there's a movement sometimes. You see Shakespearean plays done in contemporary English as opposed to, you know, the Shakespearean style. I wonder how you feel about that.
I think it's a slippery slope. I was flying back from England recently, and I saw a production of Romeo and Juliet that was partly Shakespearean and partly contemporary.
West Side Story.
No, it wasn't West Side Story. It was Romeo and Juliet.
I was teasing.
Yeah, no. It's but this was a mixture of the two, and it was some marvelous actors in it, but it was appalling. It was just awful. It just didn't work. You know, Shakespeare is so specific in his rhythm and music and language and his ability to articulate, you know, any given emotional state at any time. And when other people start to mess with that, it just dilutes and it becomes messy. I mean, you know, if you want to do a West Side Story, that tends to work just fine. But when you try to blend the two, it's impossible. There's Shakespeare and then there's everybody else. And it's very, 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 very difficult to
We only have about a minute left, but I wanted to, because Tony, at the very beginning, you were talking about how, because of the 450th birthday, you wanted to be more Shakespeare-centric. You're doing the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. Talk a little bit about that.
We are. That opens up pretty soon. It goes into previews just in the next tomorrow night, and it really is a play that Tina gave me many years ago. And
said, and we're so, being told now tonight.
Oh, tonight. Oh, previous tonight.
Previous tonight, yeah.
Previous tonight.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's Midsummer Night's Dream. You should check Shakespeare.
You know what? It says July 4th.
Yeah.
So we were told wrong.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
My PR person is giving me the wrong
information.
The best PR person in all the Berkshires, I may
that's
add,
right. But the reality is that Complete Works is really a piece which is very funny. And when I did it before, many years ago, it was a way in which to take a look at the highfalutin of a Shakespeare, and actually bring it down into a place that is, you can look at it, you can love it, you can laugh at it, and just enjoy it on
it's a
whole other level.
But isn't there always the danger that you're making fun of, you know, the very thing that you're trying to advance?
Yeah, but part of that is actually, Alan, I think for your listeners too, part of that is absolutely to do that. I mean, we were established in terms of revolution and rebellion. It was about breaking the norm and. God, I tell you, if theater can't do that and laugh at itself, then we don't deserve the
it's
stage.
With love.
It's absolutely
it's with
love. Absolutely.
A Midsummer Night's Dream runs at Shakespeare and Company's Tina Packer Playhouse through August. Julius Caesar officially and runs through August 30th. For more information, visit Shakespeare.org. Tony, Tina, Jason, Nigel, thank you so much for being here. What a pleasure.
It's our pleasure as well. Thank you, everybody.
You're listening to The Roundtable.